This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
America is a land of great wealth and opportunity. It has been built over the centuries by a variety of different nationalities, all contributing to the development of its national greatness and international influence. Since its beginning, when a handful of struggling pilgrims came to North America, overcoming enormous hardship and ultimately winning its freedom and independence some 175 years later, well, it just seemed there was something providential about its origins. And yes, over the last 200 years, many presidents have appealed to God for his blessings. Over and over again, they beseeched him and invoked his intervention by asking, God bless America. And God has blessed America with great resources. From sea to shining sea, we have seen America's affluence grow in scope and stature. Whether in raw materials or technology, be it in healthcare and education, or the military, the United States continues to set the gold standard for the rest of the world. So, do you think God has blessed America? And if you do, could it be he has some real expectations upon this culture for reciprocation of those blessings given over the centuries? And if he does expect certain behaviors and obedience in return, how do you think we measure up? Well, stay with us as we consider some of these questions and compare them with God's Word.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our family, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello there. And again, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. You know, I know there are some of you out there that have criticisms with respect to the United States of America, and I understand that. There's a lot of differences between our views, whether they be regarding politics or what's right and wrong in the areas of morality. And I, like I said, get all of that because we are in a very highly intense politicized environment today here in this country. But in all due respect to the United States' legacy, I think many of you would have to agree that it has been a tremendous balance to the rest of the world as a world power. When you take into consideration the results that occurred in World War I and World War II, the fact that Americans are buried in foreign lands dying defending countries they were not citizens of, which is very unique. As a matter of fact, I can't think of another nation that has their citizens buried in other countries that they defended. Be that as it may, again I add, who's first in line? Who's first in line when there are disasters with ships, the Red Cross, hospitals, and doctors to help bail out a country that has been devastated by a hurricane, devastated by an earthquake? Who usually is right there with the handouts and the charitable services to help those cultures fight a disease like Ebola or HIV? Who are the ones doing the research to help and hope to generate a vaccine or some kind of a block that would help heal the people that contract a certain contagion? Generally, my friends, it's the United States. The
United States is, you'd have to admit, somewhat of a God-fearing country. As much as some might like to say they're a godless country, the facts still remain that the roots and the origins of the United States are very well embedded in the Judeo-Christian ethic. There's no doubt about the evidence of the forefathers of this particular country here, America, in North America, even including Canada to a lesser degree, but nevertheless in same similar principle, that the Judeo-Christian ethic, this book, this Bible, this document from Genesis to Revelation played a major part in influencing the culture and the sociology of this particular North American continent. And I think all of you would agree that a lot of it has been due to the fact that our forefathers, and I know some of them were deists, but nevertheless, many of them, many of them were Christians, God-fearing Christian men who believed in Jesus Christ and who accepted and embraced the God of Israel. And that's my point. We as a nation, we've got In God We Trust. We put our hand over our hearts when we pledge allegiance, one nation, under God. Over and over and over, we hear our presidents, one after another, Democrat, Republic, doesn't matter. Usually, in many cases, you will find them resolving their speech with, God bless America. You've heard it over and over. And I think it goes without saying that we invoke, we appeal to this God, and I'd have to admit, it is because it's this book right here, my friends, that defines the God and religion in domination, in dominance here in the United States as well as Canada. And so I can't help but wonder, and it brings me to this thought about the fact of whether or not in invoking God's involvement and intervention in the world that we have here, in the cultural environment we have here in the United States, that whether or not, well, summoning his attention is indeed the wisest thing. Because, by the way, I mean, when you summon someone's help, there's a certain element of recognizing that that implies, the impression is given, that you're trusting and you're trying to abide by that individual's guidance or advice or whatever it may be, especially if you're asking them to help you, to intervene in your lifestyle, in your situation. And here in the United States, many of the people, our leaders included, do invoke the God of Israel. And I want to emphasize that, the God of Israel's involvement in our sociology, in our leadership, in our guidance in many respects. And I'm just saying, I'm just wondering whether or not we realize that by doing that, that there isn't maybe some expectations, and if we ignore those expectations, consequently consequences that might come down upon us. My friends, this is very important, and I want us to consider this today as we proceed in this presentation. I'm going to break, as we usually do, our habit to invite you to present and invite you for some offers. Go ahead now and dial 888-578-8791 and ask for these two free offers that we are presenting on today's program. One is called America's Greatest Sin. It's a piece of literature easily read in one sitting, as well as, in addition, a one-hour presentation given by a minister in the Church of God International, Mr. Wayne Hendricks, called Jacob's Trouble. Both of these are free. All you've got to do is go to that 888 number and or hit us on our website, because certainly our website has both of these, as a matter of fact, offers, and you can download them immediately. You don't even have to dial that 888 number. You can download these immediately and get them in minutes, even before this broadcast is over, if you want to get them that badly. One, like I said, is called America's Greatest Sin, and the other, a one-hour presentation by Mr. Wayne Hendricks called Jacob's Trouble. And oh, by the way, don't forget about our webcasts. Every Saturday, we have a webcast scheduled at some point, at some location, where a live minister in real time is presenting some kind of topic from the Bible, addressing certain issues and subjects and topics that I'm sure you'll find interesting and edifying and, God willing, helpful to you in your walk with Jesus Christ. And don't forget about our CGI digital network. We have a nice app that you can download on any of your mobile devices that will help you to be able to navigate through our website very easily and much more conveniently, and be able to locate certain products much more quickly because they're all collated there very nicely for your consideration. So go ahead, dial that number if you'd like, but you can download, as I mentioned, on CGI.org almost immediately for both of these offers, America's Greatest Sin. That's a piece of literature, easily read. It's a reprint article that you can read in probably less than a half hour. And 1 hour presentation called Jacob's Trouble. Both are on our website for your convenience. Download them now as soon as you can. Now, back to the program with regards to what we're talking about. And I'm broaching this topic about the fact of whether or not God has expectations on us. And if he does indeed have expectations, then obviously it's very reasonable that we would see some associated consequences attached to those expectations. I mean, here we are, we're asking God for his blessings. We ask God for his provisions. We ask God for his protection and all of the things that he can do for us. And we actually appeal to him, whether it be in prayer or whether it be, as I already pointed out, in our Pledge of Allegiance. We have it on our money. We have it at the ends of certain speeches by our leaders that are voted into office. And I just find that we don't think in this term, that why wouldn't we think it's fair for us to consider what God would expect of us as a result of all of these provisions and protection and blessings that we're asking him for. And the God that I'm referencing here is the very God of this Bible, the one that you and I have been introduced by Jesus Christ to understand as the Father, the one who Jesus introduced and said was his Father, that one, that God, this God of Israel that we understand did indeed have some expectations that he did in fact place on Israel. And that's why I say, why should we in the 21st century, the nation of the United States of America, the nation of Canada, for that matter, all those nations that claim an allegiance and a connection to the God of Israel, why would we not think that we would then be held responsible, that we would then be held accountable for the expectations that are in this manual? Because we have the manual. It's right here. As a matter of fact, it's translated into our language so that we can understand what he expects. So frankly, in some regards and some respects, when you come down to it, you can't help but to understand that, you know what? We have no excuse. Oh, yeah, that's right, my friends. We have no excuse in this respect of our relationship with knowing what this God of Israel expects from us. And therefore, the question is, what does he expect from us? What is it that he wants from us? What are the habits? What are the lifestyles? What are the types of foods we should be eating? What should our culture look like? What should we allow? And what should we disallow? What is it that God is wanting from us as a people, as a nation, that is identified here? Is there some place in the Bible that we can at least get a thumbnail sketch of what those expectations are and maybe a kind of an idea of what the consequences may be? Well, turn with me real quickly here to Deuteronomy chapter 28. There's a sister chapter I want to bring your attention to. I'm just going to reference it. You can read it later. It is a sister chapter to Deuteronomy 28. It's called Leviticus 26. I'm not going to go there today. I don't have the time. But I'm going to park over here just a little bit in Deuteronomy 28. Bring your attention over here to this fact that in this particular chapter, which is generally considered to be the blessings and cursing chapter, we find it laid out in the first 14 verses of blessings. And we're told in verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. It goes down here in verse 6, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. He says here, the Lord shall establish you as a holy people. Well, that's a definite indication that there are some distinctions here. A holy people? Somehow I don't get how abortion fits in with being a holy people, but I'll get to that in a minute here. He goes on here and he says, the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods. The Lord shall open unto you his good treasures. All of these first 14 verses in this chapter, Deuteronomy 28, are all about blessings, all about the things that God would do for us if we would do certain things for him. See, there is expectations, and yes, there are consequences. Notice here, though, verse 15. Here's where the story, the tenure changes. It says here in verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken, that is, if you will not obey me, that is basically what he's saying, unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments, his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And he goes on, cursed shall you be in the city and in the field. Cursed shall the basket of your store be. Cursed shall the fruits of your body be. In other words, you'll be riddled with diseases and sicknesses. He goes on here, cursed shall you be when you come in and shall go out. The Lord shall send upon you cursings and vexation and rebuke. He says he'll send on us the plagues of Egypt in certain areas. He goes on here down through the latter portion of this chapter all the way to the end here, dropping down for the sake of time, where he says the stranger, that is non-citizens. Could we be talking about other types of nationalists in the country? He says strangers, that is not citizens, non-citizens. He says here, that are within you shall get up above you very high and shall come down, and you shall come down, that is, you shall come down very low. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, you shall be the tail. All these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you, overtake you until you are destroyed. He continues on. He talks about nations that he would bring upon them if they would continue to insist on disobeying him. And guess what? The history shows, without a doubt, sad to say, that Israel of old, original Israel of the 700s in the northern side, and on the southern sector, Judah, that nation, the last portion, the last tribes of the nation of Israel were taken down in 500 BC by the Babylonians. They were taken out. The only ones that were to return were the Jews some 70 years later when they returned out of captivity under the leadership of Nehemiah and Ezra under the decree of Cyrus. That's another story. My point is, God was true to his word, that if indeed they would not obey him, he would curse them. He would take them out. He would allow foreign lands to invade them and level the playing field. My friends, there is no doubt the United States of America, Canada, Britain, many of the Commonwealth nations are highly embedded with the God of Israel and Jesus Christ. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are also accepting the Father. Because remember, Jesus said, the Father and He are one. You accept Jesus, you accept the Father. You accept the Father, you accept Jesus. They come as a package. So if you consider yourself a Christian, because Jesus was indeed a Jew, then you are accepting the accountability and the sense of responsibility and obligation you have to the God of Israel, without a doubt, without a question. We are accountable, my friends, to the God of Israel as a nation. With that being said, then, is there any reason why we should doubt the fact that what God did to original Israel, that pattern that has already come and gone some 2,500, 2,700 years ago. And we've got the historical record of it right here in the manual, right here. It's all for you to read. All you've got to do is read 2 Kings chapter 17, where you will see there the northern 10 tribes. That's the battle of the northern 10 tribes against the Assyrians. The Assyrians were brought in to take the northern 10 tribes out, leaving Judah in the south for another 100 years or so, later on being taken out by the Babylonians. But I don't want to digress. The point being, in 2 Kings 17, I don't have time to turn to it, but you can read it there, that God actually removed all those people out of that northern area of Palestine and put them into the cities of the Medes, and took them out around the Caspian Sea area and up there by the Black Sea and through the Caucasus Mountains and so forth. Later on, another story, they migrated westward. But that, as I say, is left for another time. My point, God set a pattern. And any nation that essentially ties itself to Him, He holds them responsible for the very precepts, the values, the standards of what this book represents. So I dare say that it's important for all of us, I would think, to at least understand that there is a certain sense of obligation that we need to recognize, because we are responsible to the God of Israel. So if we think, and here's where I'm going with this, if we think we can continue to lead and maintain a hedonistic, neo-pagan lifestyle and continue to pursue those values, values of witchcraft, values of pedophilia, values of espionage and sedition and lying and all these things that go along with what seems to be defining today in our present time here in the United States, sadly, a lot of what is going on. If we think we can continue to maintain this kind of value system and expect blessings, provisions, and protection, my friends, we are sadly, sadly mistaken in so many ways. You see, because God is not capricious in His expectations. He's not in the business of entitling people that no matter what they do, they're free to do what they want. They can do anything and He'll still come forward. He'll still present whatever they need on a silver platter, because He's God and He loves you and He's not going to do anything wrong to hurt you and all of this. So regardless of what you do, nilly-willy, I mean, just have at it. Do what you want. Throw this book out. There's no expectations. There aren't any consequences for you to in any way, shape, or form cross swords with God to where you would cause Him to be motivated to hurt you. My friends, in that respect, if we think that God is that capricious, then we really do have another thought coming, because quite frankly, that is very odd and obviously wrong. Let me put it to you in a different way. We said in the beginning of this program, God blesses us in many ways. You heard, of course, me saying that many of our leaders today resolve their speeches in "God bless America." So I want to illustrate to you something, and consider what you're going to view as I take you through this little story about how we appeal to God bless America. 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 Do you really think, my friends, God is pleased with what you just viewed? We need to get real. We need to get real as a nation. We need to get real and consider very seriously how to reconnect with the God of this book, the God that presented to us this document that tells us how we need to be. My friends, we need to repent of our sins. We need to repent of the transgressions of the law that is outlined and enumerated and described and in every shape and form explained in this particular book. Let me share with you over here in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in verse 29 what the lawgiver, that is God, gave to Moses to write down in this particular chapter. And in verse 29 of chapter 4, we read this, "But if from thence you seek God, and shall seek the Lord your God, him with all your heart and with all your soul, when you are in tribulation, and all these things are come upon you, even in the latter days, if you turn to the Lord your God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God, he will not forsake you, neither destroy you, nor forget you, the covenant of your fathers, which he swore unto them." My friends, we do need to repent. And it starts with each and every one of us. We need to repent personally. Because you see, God wants us to understand what's right and wrong from his definition. Not moral relevance, not postmodern thinking, and not party politics being our guide. No, 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 no. What we need to understand to be our guide for defining right and wrong is to become familiar with the values and standards located in this book. My friends, get familiar with it. Repent of your sins, get baptized, and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Time's run out on me. Once again, dial 888-578-8791 or download the offers right now off our website at www.cgi.org. And you can get it. And as I said, it is called America's Greatest Sin, a piece of literature you can download in a New York minute, as they would say, as well as Jacob's Trouble, a one-hour presentation by Mr. Wayne Hendricks that will help you to understand a little bit more of what things that I just wasn't able to go ahead and get at in this limited amount of time I had. My friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you, as we always do, you keep on that armor of God so that you might be able to stand in these evil days.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.